Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number two. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, sickos. This is Shagun.
All right, Shagun, here we go, man. Let's run down to Sabine. Let's check in with Captain Bill Watkins. Bill, good morning. How are you, man?
Good morning, man. Doing okay.
We got phone connection this morning.
We got a phone connection this morning. Hot dog. I'm having issues with my cell phone inside the house. Just inside the house.
Yeah.
Kind of a strange thing. If I was walking around out in the yard, I could talk on it all I wanted to. And I'm not sure how to resolve that issue.
Well, I had a little segment here for you open up this morning. That's why I wanted to get you in, because a lot of listeners have been texting me the last couple of, well, we couldn't get you this past Saturday or yesterday, and they're going, oh, man, what's up with Bill? So you got some fans out there. What's wrong with Bill?
Yeah, I got two or three calls yesterday.
Did you?
Where you at? Yeah, shoot. I said, man, I got to get this straightened out. And I don't know. It's a crazy thing. I had that cell phone working on Wi-Fi here at the house. And for some reason or another, it just quit working. I can't figure out what the heck's going on. So, yep. And, you know, as undependable as this AT&T phone is, it goes out every once in a while. At least when it's on, it works.
Yeah.
It's not line of sight. It's hardwired, so we're good. All right, buddy.
Well, how you been otherwise? It seemed like it's been a month since I talked to you.
Well, I think it's just been about the last three segments, but
yeah,
it seems like a long time, that's for sure. Yeah, we got some strange fishing going on over here right now. I did get out this week Wednesday and caught some real nice trout, good Texas sized trout. I went on the Texas side and stayed on the Texas side.
Right.
Didn't fool the Louisiana side at all. So, and actually run into some, you know, pretty nice Texas keeper 16-18s.
Yeah.
It's nice to see that size fish.
Well, that's the issue they're trying to address over there in Louisiana. And they had that big Zoom meeting yesterday with Louisiana, you know, fish and game or wildlife, whatever they call it over there, and their main biologist there was a lot of Vaughn watched all of it on his computer.
Yeah, he told me about
that. Filled me in on all that, and they just they told all those commissioners, you know, on the commission, said, look, this, we collect all this data, we work for y'all. Y'all pay us to give you the truth and tell you how it is, and your fishery is in terrible shape. And something needs to be done. You got to change your regulations, or you're going to wake up and you're not going to have a fishery. And he said it got pretty heated. There was a few words throwing back and forth, and one of them told him, said, "Hey, you know, y'all are elected, and you're trying to please your constituents, but you need to look at the real picture here and take care of your fishery." And I think one of them voted to make the changes, and the rest of them, they said, leave it alone. So, hey, there you go. They'll change it once it's too late, you know. We see that a lot.
Pick your poison. That's what I say.
You know, and Louisiana has one of the best. I mean, they're on top of things. Their biologists over there are sharp cookies, and
they are.
Their data they collect and the way they present and do things. I mean, they're top notch for the whole country, and they try to set an example, but they can't get cooperation otherwise to make changes to better their fishery. So, hey, it's all politics, man. It's every bit of it.
They floated out a 13.5-inch rule and a 15.
Wasn't that funny? 13 and a half. Who came up with that, man?
That is really hilarious. And then you'd have to make a special mark on your measuring ruler for that.
Yes, sir.
And then I don't know what they were doing about the numbers. That's a curious thing to me.
Well, I saw in that survey I took, one of them was 11. You know, some were dropping it to 10, like Texas, and with the old Texas deal. And then one had 11 in there, and then 14. And, I mean, it's 15 right now, but I think they're wanting to do the whole state that way. You know,
yeah,
the entire.
It's 15 over here on this side of the state.
Right.
And 25 on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah, once you clear Calcasieu and go east, it's 25 per person. Plus, the Gads get to keep 25. That's a lot, man.
Yeah, and they're not willing to give up the guide limit either. The guide wants to keep their limit, and they just can't let go of that.
No,
it's amazing.
Well, they'll be able to when they don't have anything left to catch. I mean, it's really scaring them because they're wanting to bump it up from 12 to 13.5. And, well, there's a bunch of guides over there. They wouldn't catch anything if the limit was 13.5 or better. I mean, I see some of the fish they catch. I mean, we got topwaters that big over here.
Oh, hey, you know they put them in the boxes 10 inches, 11 inches, because nobody's checking them.
Yeah.
I've observed that.
I know you have.
I'll probably be shot next time I go over there, but it's true. That's just the way it is, man. I mean, it's hard for people to see the value of managing the fishery. And but we'll be okay at Sabine because we've got the Texas side going like it needs to go. We'll be fine. As bad as the flounder fishermen are invading the Louisiana ramp down there at the Causeway Bridge,
right?
There's no flounder being taken on the Texas side, and they got a lot of them over there, too. So, you know, half of our fish are escaping. The flounder are getting out in the Gulf. So I'm happy with that. But you can't even get on that ramp hardly right now. It is so packed out with people.
Man, everything's just a big gut pile over there. I mean,
so many boats coming in and out of that ramp that they're potholed the parking lot. Just from the water flowing off the trailers. And I either switched over to another ramp or somewhere else. I'm trying not to put in there right now. And I go over to Music Park or up to Rainbow Bridge Landing and, put it on Texas side for a while. And it's working out.
That's where I used to like to put in was the Music Park, and I liked it right there. I was kind of in the middle, and I could go right or left, you know,
right
north
or left,
or south, or straight across.
Or straight across, yeah. Whichever you choose.
Well, I've had some nasty boat rides coming back, too, before, you know, when that wind gets up.
You got a east wind blowing? Yeah. Yeah, I went out with Vaughn Young one day, and we went up to the north end, fished the flats up there, and caught a good pile of trout, mm-hmm. and turned around and come back into the south wind, and it was popping.
Hey, that's a nasty ride up them rocks, man, coming back from up north.
That was a rough boat ride.
We both
lost a few teeth on that one, I think. we've got some good black drum fishing. I got into some black drum Wednesday.
Really?
Found a shell bed. Yeah, I found a shell bed off the river. And threw some dead shrimp out there and just whacked them.
Drummer boys.
18 to 20 inches.
Oh, that's good fillet size to eat, man. Drummer, good eating.
Oh, golly, yeah, they're good.
Them pup drummer, it, man.
We just, you know, kept about three of them. We had a 6 or 8 nice trout, and we kept three of those and threw back about another 12. It was fast and furious once we got into it.
Yeah.
And I did not catch a redfish, though, and we saw one in the intercoastal. There was some birds working in the intercoastal, and mostly was small trout and sand trout. But my son said, look at that redfish. He come right up and got him a shrimp on top in 24 foot of water. That shrimp was easing along the top. I guess he thought he'd got out of the action and sneaking out, and that redfish come up and slurped him up. That's a pretty thing to see. But, you know, we'll be okay because we've got, you know, the Louisiana marsh will reproduce like crazy. And the Texas side has got some pretty good marshes, too, in a roundabout way. So, and they do some stocking over in Keith Lake, and as those in the back of it, and as those trout grow, they'll come out into the channel, and, you know, they'll work their way out as they get bigger. And we'll have a pretty good fishery over here, no problem. But if Louisiana was able to do anything, I feel sorry for them that they're locked up by politics, but the rest of the country's in pretty much the same shape. So, you know, all I can say is thank God for Texas and Florida.
Yeah.
We'll be all right. It's all right. Yeah, we will recover. As soon as they finally figure out what they need to do, it'll recover real quick. But, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm pursuing the last trout in Louisiana, but it's not that bad. We've got fish.
Well, they're just so small, and, man, I mean, once they hit, it's like the problem we have over here. Once they hit 15, they just get harvested, so beat on so bad, and same way over there. I see all that, and all them gut pile shots, and you know, everybody with their 25 apiece, and they're all about 12 and a half inches long.
That's not the right thing to do anymore. They need to realize that it's just the wrong thing to do. You know, you might look at crappie, for instance. You've got crappie on Rayburn and Toledo Bend. Those crappie they're prolific. When they spawn, they just have crappie everywhere. But just to give you an example, in 2020, they had so many people, especially school teachers, were all off work.
Yeah, all the COVID deal, the pressure. Yeah,
they were all getting paid, and they just hung out at their camps and whatever. They just went fishing.
Yeah.
And, I mean, lots of people were off work for a good long spell. And I talked to one of the crappie guides up there, and he said, you'll find this amazing. Between 2019 and 2020, their catch rate dropped from 12,000 crappie to 7,000 crappie.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's how much rod and reel fishing can affect your fishery. And don't think it wasn't happening down here, too.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, sure. They're catching trout and flounder and redfish same way. And that was kind of the worst thing that could have happened to a fishery is everybody having unlimited time to go. Everybody bought a new boat. They got incentive checks. They went fishing.
Sure
don't
they
blame
did.
Them.
Yeah.
Can't blame them.
PPP
well,
loans.
If I see my last fishing trip, might catch COVID and die. I'm going to go at it.
I'm going to get them while I can.
Yeah.
Buffalo hunters. Hey, hang on, Bill. Let me pop this commercial break. I'll come right back at you, man. Hold that thought. I'll be right back. Well, you know, the 3-day Christmas Galveston County Fishing and Outdoor Expo, it's being held next Friday, December 10th through Sunday, December 12th. The location's right there at the Galveston County Fairgrounds on Highway 6 in Hitchcock, Texas. And this is going to be so unique. It'll be a great Christmas buying experience with over 100 local vendors, custom rods, local lure companies, kayaks, boats, fishing gads, performance apparel, you name it, they're going to have it there. And a lot more from local vendors with products you can't find in stores. Bring the kids. You can have their picture taken with Santa, and you'll meet all the great vendors around like Chicken Boy Lures, Fish Stick Rods, Bad Marine, Laguna Rods, Outcast Fishing Charters, Kelly Wigglers, Gary Mackinac Outdoors, and there will also be food trucks for your convenience. Free parking. Ticket prices are only $10 for adults and a ticket purchase. It's good for all 3 days of the show. There'll be a kids zone, so bring the kids. Let them romp around while you're shopping for great deals just in time for Christmas. For more information, go to gotfishexpo.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It is 519 here in the Bayou City. Let's go back to Bill Watkins. All right, Bill, we are back.
All right, buddy. Where were we anyway?
We were into buffalo hunting and gut piles and everything.
Oh, yeah, there we are.
On the fishery.
Yeah, we almost shot the last one.
Yep, we almost did. Well, we saved two anyway to make more.
Shoot. Well, you know, I have to work at it to catch fish, but somehow manage to get there. I mean, my average fish in the Louisiana side was around 30 fish, mostly trout, some red, some flounder. I mean, that's every day, and that average has dropped off to 20 to 25 now.
Yeah.
And that's. I can see that happening, but this time of year is usually the small trout time of year anyway. As we turn over into January, February, we'll start seeing the fish that we haven't been able to get to. They'll start moving around and, you know, coming down the shorelines and out of the deeper channels. Those trout, they'll tend to winter in the north end of the lake if it's salty like it is now.
Sure.
And,
that's where they want to be.
All up in there. Yeah.
Well, that's where the bait is.
That's right. And there's, there's a few shrimp left over up there. Always is. And, there's always some shrimp in the Sabine and down the intercoastal coming into the lake. There's always a few shrimp left up there you know, in the intercoastal between the Natchez and the Sabine.
Sure.
And there's always shrimp going around the ship channel going to the west around the lake. And all of that, you know, all that deep water plays into why
well,
we didn't
lose it feeds
fishing.
The bay, you know, and it holds the bait, and it as your tide exchanges and all that, and that's why those fish like to go north, because that's where all your estuary, you know, system is anyway, deep bio
yep.
drains and channels and guts, and they, well, they're what I call funnel points.
And I'm pretty sure that we got off a really good spawn this year.
I hope so.
So, oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure of that. I watched it real close. Now, the lake fish, the fish that live in the lake, those trout were, they weren't even, they hadn't even developed their egg sacs by the 1st of May. They were way on toward the end of May and end of June before they really fully developed.
Waiting on the salinity level to get right.
Yeah, and then they finally got to where the salt water was. You know, we had a lot of fresh water.
Yeah, we did.
Back in late spring. It just, they had all those bad rains at Rayburn and Toledo, and those lakes filled up, and they had to let that water out. It wasn't that we had that much rain. It was they did. And
right. That's what hurt you, and you had that long purge coming out of Rayburn all year long, man.
Yeah. And a lot of our resident fish got caught because they got bunched up in,
right.
you know, smaller spots. But there's, you know, the fishing was steady through the summer. It really was.
Mm-hmm.
And the fish that come up, the tide runners that come in out of the Gulf, they were, I mean, by May 1st, they were full of eggs. They were ready.
Right.
And we got some of those, and, you know, it's net-net, I think we did good. If they'd lower the limit in Louisiana to 5 fish a day, we'd have, go to a 15-inch limit. We'd have fish running everywhere.
Y'all would come back so fast, it'd be unbelievable.
Oh, it'd be. We'd be top again, no doubt about it. And the productivity is there. I can see it. I've talked to Louisiana biologists. They are sharp, them young men.
Yeah, they are.
And I've talked to them at length on when they were doing surveys. They'll actually have one of their biologists doing the surveys. Just like mm-hmm. the Texas guys do, and their data pretty much agreed with what I was seeing. I said, you know, we need to change, and he said, yeah, we do. Don't know what we're gonna do yet. Well, it's been 2 years if I don't know what we're gonna do yet.
Man,
but they're not even concerned about their flounder. I mean, across the state, they must have a lot of flounder, but and. Our spring run here was pretty darn good. We were catching a lot of bycatch flounder. I mean, I don't fish for them just flounder. I fish for them when I find them. And we had some pretty good days on flounder.
Yeah, Louisiana, what is it, Bill? They have a 10-fish limit on flounder with no size limit, right?
That's right.
So if you catch a little potato chip, you can keep it. And I've seen that happen over there.
We self-regulate ourselves on that. We don't.
I mean, if it bites the hook, they throw it in the box, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. And who don't like to eat flounder? So.
Well, true.
Yeah.
But it's a special type of fishery, and they don't reproduce like trout and redfish do.
No,
and other
it's
species.
A different deal.
And it's got to be cherished and conserved and taken care of.
I talked to a Texas biologist back in late May, and I was catching a lot of flounder back then.
Mm-hmm.
And they're thinking that real cold weather we had helped the spawn. They said their net samples were showing lots of little small flounder.
But yet they closed it. Yeah. The upper coast, you know, from Matagorda up your way, I think the flounder were thriving pretty good, but they ended up closing it here, I guess, because of the rest of the coast. And, you know, they didn't do that with trout, which kind of blew my mind.
Yeah. But we were fortunate on that freeze event. might have actually helped us in a way. But we've got a really productive fishery, and considering all the industry we have around on the Texas side of the lake, it's healthy. I mean, we're in pretty good shape over here.
Yeah.
We just need to let them trout grow.
Got to let them grow up, man. That's right.
Yeah.
Let them get through. But, I remember I used to live for this time of year to come over there when I was fishing there a lot. November and December. I mean,
yeah.
It was big trout city, buddy. I mean, that was just some of the most unbelievable catches you would ever have for that time of year. For really big, beautiful fish.
And we have the watercolor right now is so pretty. I mean, just about everywhere you go on that lake, given you don't have a big norther, it's real clear. Coffee Ground Cove, you can see the bottom 6-7 foot down. It's absolutely interesting. So, but it gets like that this year every time. If it, when it dries up, you get between the rains, and I mean the rainy season will probably start pretty soon, but hopefully we don't get that much. I'd like to have a good salty spring and salty summer. That would be great. We'll catch some fish. I mean, right now it's weird because the majority of the shrimp have gone, and what we've got left is probably going to stay. And a lot of the fish followed those shrimp from north all the way down south. And then they did. When the shrimp disappeared, they disappeared. They went somewhere, probably off out in the middle of that deep lake, and they may work their way back north. I'm not real sure what happens in that transition time. When the shrimp all leave, and then all of a sudden you don't see any birds working, and you don't really know where those fish are, and you're just kind of guessing at where they're going to show up. I think some of them actually stay down south in that deep water around the lower end of the lake.
Yeah.
And but you can't catch them when you got one norther coming in every 3 days. In January, I've had birds working down there, out in front of those houses on the lower end of the lake. It'd be birds working out there, and I mean nice, solid trout. It happens every year, but you got to catch conditions just so. You have to have about a 5-day warm-up for it to happen. And then you might find birds working down there in February. And then, of course, in March we used to get fresh water would come down in March, and those fish would bunch up over the reef area down there. And you could just drift fish and catch them. Well, that hadn't happened in several years. Not to any degree at all, but those fish have chosen other areas for whatever reason to congregate. But the north end of the lake will be holding fish all winter, as long as it don't come a flood. If it stays salty up there, they're going to be up there, and those fish are roaming around looking for whatever they can eat. And water temperature gets up to about 55. 53, you'll start seeing them on the flats on pretty days and catching them, But right now we've just got a lot of small fish. But if you go well into Texas, you start catching better fish. It's working. The plan is working. So
yeah.
I am probably going to be fishing Texas quite a bit. I'll be doing Texas limits for a while, working on those areas that have better fish in it. And I'm okay with catching 5 fish.
I know you are. A lot of us are.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that. Yeah. Those nice fish we caught Wednesday, that was good. I mean, a friend of mine went out. He had a guide trip on Thursday, and he had a kind of a struggle because the fog had him locked in.
Right.
And his GPS went out, and he couldn't get anywhere. He had to use his cell phone to run by GPS.
Thank God for the cell phone.
Yeah, that's bad. He got a big old fine you know, the ranch unit sitting up there on the dash, and you had to use your cell phone to navigate. That's pretty sad.
I'm telling you. We've all been there, though.
We've all been there. That's right.
All right, Bill. Well, hey, I'm going to pop you again in the morning, but it's good to get you back going again, and always enjoy a conversation with you. You're very knowledgeable about it. If somebody wants to come over to Sabine and fish with you, how do they get a hold of you, my friend?
409-673-9211.
All right.
If you can't catch that one, get on the website and get my home phone, and that'll work too.
I guarantee.
All right.
All right. Buddy. Well, Bill, have a good day. Talk to you tomorrow. Have
all
a good
right.
day. All right. See you. All right. Well, you know the Belleville Meat Market. If you're looking for a great place to have all your processing needs done and a good meat market to shop at, look no farther than the Belleville. They're located in downtown Belleville, just a short drive from Sealy on I-10. R. Hempstead, on 290, owned and operated by the Poffenberger family for 40 years now, and I've been using them. This is my 14th season. No better place. I found a home with the Belleville Meat Market, and they're great guys to work with. The Poffenbergers, they're outdoorsmen like we are. They know what we like, and they meet the challenge. They do a fine job. They have a three-lane drop-off system at their processing facility. It's state-of-the-art, makes it convenient dropping your game off. They unload it for you. They take it in. They track it all the way through the process. And I've toured that facility from front to back door several times. It's first class. And just like all the products they turn out with all their pecan smoked sausage, award-winning summer sausages, all the products you like to have your wild game turned into, trust the Belleville Meat Market. Check them out at BellevilleMeatMarket.com. Call them at 979-865-5782. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Friday morning. Final segment already. It's hard to believe. It's flown by. All right. Let's go down Sunny San Leon Way or G-Town Way, wherever Hillman's at, and check in with him. We can always find him, though. He can run, but he can't hide. Hillman, what's up?
Howdy.
Howdy.
How you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm all right, buddy. What are you doing?
Oh, trying to get to the ramp without getting pulled over. Yeah, my trailer lights. I'm not getting a good ground. I don't know what the deal with these damn aluminum trailers, man.
I know.
This is a brand new trailer, and my lights are barely on. I've had like two people pull up beside me at the light, and I already knew what they're going to tell me. No, your lights aren't working. Yeah, no kidding. I can see that. But
hey, sir, your power pole's down.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Cliff Webb said that time. Sir, your power pole's down.
But no, they were working when I left the house, and I stopped to get ice and a kolache, and I walked up to my truck, and they weren't working. But and there's not a ground wire.
You're going to have to pull that ground wire off in the nut that it fits to and then grind it down, you know, a little grinder, and then put it back on. It'll work perfect. That's a typical aluminum trailer issue, you know.
You're right, but here's the deal. This one doesn't have a ground wire.
What?
Every trailer, I swear, every trailer I've ever had has a ground wire. This one, I guess, I don't know where it's at. It's not right there on the tongue like you're talking about, like where it normally is.
No, it's on the back, back there. The plates where the lights are bolted to. There should be a wire.
There's not one back there either. It's inside. It's got to be inside because it's not on the outside.
Yeah.
It's not like my last two trailers where I can just do exactly what you said. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Well, when you take them off, just move it to the outside. That's what I did with mine. I bet it came from the factory with it on the inside of the bolt where it bolts from the light through that little plate.
Yeah, probably. Another thing I could do, and I've done it before, is pull the hitch out. This hitch gets rust, a good rust layer on it where it goes into my receiver on my truck, and I'll grind that down. Sometimes that's the deal. But anyway, we won't bore everybody to tears with that stuff.
Well, as long as you get there without somebody running over you or getting a ticket, you can limp on home when you don't need taillights today.
Yeah, we're not getting as early a start as we have been. There's really no need to. I was at the ranch for 5 or 6 days, and I came back Monday, and then Tuesday I had some personal stuff to take care of, so I didn't fish. And then Wednesday and yesterday we fished, and our bite early was not good at all.
Right.
It was just dead. Everything was really dead, and we caught a handful of fish. I think Wednesday we started. I guess we got out there around 6:45. And went to an area where I'd been catching them before I went to the ranch. And we started catching some little bitty stuff, this little 12, 13-inch trout. I haven't seen any of those in a while. And long story short, we worked our tails off, fished three different areas Wednesday. And I think at 10 o'clock, we had three trout and a red, 10 o'clock. And then our tide slowed down and flipped around and started coming in. And I happened to be sitting on a pretty good patch of fish, and it was pretty good stuff for the next hour or so. We ended up catching a lot of trout. We ended up, I say a lot for these days. I think we had 19 legal trout. Of course, we didn't keep them all. And then we had three or four reds. No flounder, though. We didn't catch. That's the first day I hadn't caught a flounder in a while. But all the fish are still right where they have been, man. For like the last 2 months, for me, it's crazy. Some of them have spread out a little bit more; they're not as tight. Some of the areas I was fishing, you gotta work more. Really, everywhere I'm fishing, you have to work. None of it's easy. You know, if your timing's off and all that good stuff, and you don't have the right guys, blah blah blah, you're gonna struggle. I mean, if we'd have missed that one patch of fish Wednesday, we'd have probably ended up catching 7 or 8 fish. That's how critical it was as far as the location and the timing. And our fish got smaller. We're not catching anything what I would consider solid. I mean, we had Wednesday, I think we had 4 or 5 fish that were 20, 21 inches. Everything else was 15 and a half to 17. And the reds were real nice. But a lot of little reds mixed in now. It's a lot of 17, 18-inch reds mixed in with the keepers. And we're actually fishing 4 reds. I mean, Wednesday, my guys wanted to keep fish, so I think we pulled off the trout around 10:45. We went red fishing and landed on a few little patches of reds, and I thought we were going to hammer them, and then we lost them, and then everything just kind of went dead. I mean, there's no slicks, there's no bait, nothing. We just bounced around working some towheads, some shallow towheads. I think we caught one more red. Yeah, we did. We caught one more slot red before we came in around 12:30.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, carbon copy of Wednesday. I had two guys yesterday. I had 3 guys Wednesday. I had 2 guys yesterday. I had Mr. D. Atkins, his son Greg. And exact same scenario. I mean, only other than I started in a different location.
Yeah.
And we started out catching little bitty fish, and around 10 o'clock, we had, I think, four trout, no reds. And I went back to that area where those fish lit up for us the day before, and damn if they didn't light up again for us. And it was the same thing, and we caught them real good. And that was actually before the tide change. That was at the tail end of the outgoing. And almost everything on rat tails, all the better fish we're catching on bass assassin rat tails, and then a lot of the guys are throwing the down south, and I had one guy the other day throwing that down south, the big one. I think they call it the supermodel. But you catch a lot of fish on paddle tails, what I'm doing on the little sea shads, but you're going to have to weed through a lot of little ones. And I know this is like old textbook stuff or whatever, but bigger baits, bigger fish, but it's kind of been holding true for us. If we're throwing a little bit bigger plastic, we're weeding out some of the little fish. And our fish were actually a little bit bigger yesterday, but it was the same deal. Once they were over, once they were done, they were done.
Yeah.
I think after 11 o'clock, we might have caught, and we were red fishing by then, and we did catch three more reds, but I think we might have caught three more legal trout while we were red fishing. But I went back through the area where those trout were, and it was the Dead Sea, man. It was just nothing. But water got real clear.
Light switch flips, man.
It is, and it's dangerous, really, because if you're really not fishing a bunch right now, in our bay system, okay, if you're not fishing a bunch and in tune to how these trout react and the reds, how they react to the tide swings and the pressure changes and all that kind of stuff, then you could strike out. You really could. It could. Hell, I almost did again yesterday. If we'd have missed that one patch of fish, you know. It's just, and we were talking about it yesterday because Mr. D. Atkins and Greg have been fishing me a long, long time, and
they
remember some of the days we had East Bay and over there in your backyard, 100, 150 fish days with fours and fives mixed in, blah, blah, blah. I mean, we can talk about the good old days, you know, and all that garbage, but it was true. It was true.
Well, thank God we got them and experienced them, or we wouldn't have nothing to talk about.
Exactly. But we were talking, one thing we were talking about yesterday is, because they know, I mean, they fish enough, and they used to have their own boats and stuff, and they know what a fishy-looking area looks like, right? So we're idling down the shoreline yesterday, and there's mullet flipping in there and little shad stuff, and it's over shell and some towheads. And Mr. Jackson's like, man, look at all that bait over there. It's like the only place we saw bait. And we fished it, and I don't think we even had a bite. Actually, I think Greg lost a flounder there. It's the only flounder we hooked yesterday. But we were talking about how used to you could see an area that looked fishy and pull in and catch fish, and it's just not that way. And I'm not bellyaching about it. It's just different. It's like these fish, they're holding in certain areas for whatever rhyme or reason, live oyster, maybe some bait on the bottom or something, I don't know. But some of these areas that used to this time of year, or any time of year for that matter, you pull in and you think you're going to get lit up. It looks great, but there's nothing there.
Yeah, they were teeming with life, you know.
Yeah, and now one of the other bay systems I fished recently, I had been down there since January, and I pop on down there, and we pull into an area. Hey, that looks fishy. We jump out, we catch fish. So, you know, something's different. Something's different. But still, it's good enough. It's fine. You know, we're not going out there whacking the mess out of them, but we're catching enough to make it worth it. And as long as you can catch enough to make it worth it, it's fine. But all these fish the last 2 days were close to the bottom. Nothing up top. Everything hugging the bottom. The bites got real soft yesterday, other than that one little spurt we had.
Yeah.
The best bait yesterday was, I caught almost all of mine on lime truce rat tail, straight tail, on a 16th-ounce jig head, about 4 foot of water, but let it sink down. Mm. We caught some up about 2.5 foot of water, too. some of the larger trout work shallow.
Yeah, there's a few fish caught up my way yesterday up in that chemical waste dump.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to, if it gets, it's going to have to get really tough. I had to go up there a couple times last year. If it gets tough enough, I'll, might get a Mr. Yuck wrap put on my boat, Mr. Yuck sticker. Remember those Mr. Yuck stickers?
Yeah.
Glow in the dark stickers.
Yeah.
On like a bottle of bleach and stuff so the kids don't get into it. Put one of those wraps on my boat and start fishing up there.
Well,
there's a lot of fish up there, though.
Yeah, I think TPNW should make an estuary out of that, just a closed fishery, and let them do their thing up there and whatever. I mean, you're not even supposed to eat any species of any marine life up there with all the new signs. It used to be trout and catfish, only 8-ounce portions. Now they're saying none, period. And they still go up there and catch them and fillet them up and take them home and eat them. So, good luck.
Yeah, and I don't know.
Catch and
I don't
release
know.
Only.
I mean, I'm kind of joking around about the Mr. Yuck thing, but I don't know how many of those fish really live up there year-round. Because I know these trout.
No, but the problem you have is the bait lives there year-round, and they eat the contaminated bait, which absorbs into their system. And
right.
Until they come back down away from there and get into the cleaner bay waters where they can purge out and clean themselves up. It's just, I don't know. I'm not that
bad. No, you're right.
I never eat nothing up there. It's just not.
Right.
I'm not going to flay them out and give my customers that. I mean, it just, well, you know, TPNW hid that from us for years, and then you had the whistleblower lady years back that blew the whistle on what was really going on with the toxic waste dumps. Now you've had a Reformate spill on the channel. You've had the ITC fire up there with all that firefighting foam in the water. So, hey, good luck. If you need them that bad, eat them up. Feed them to your wife and kids, everything else. Hey, go for it. You only live once.
At least you can find them in the freezer if you fillet them.
Sure, if your power goes out.
Your light goes out.
Grab that glowing bag of fillets right there. We'll fry them up tonight.
Oh, boy.
But, I mean, seriously. Oh, well.
Well,
I hope you have a good day today.
I will see, man. It's a little scary how I'm teetering on the edge of disaster the last 2 days.
Wow.
If you miss that one or two little windows, man, and it's warming up now even more. We'll see. I'm sure we'll catch something, but I don't know. It might be a few more boats to contend with on a Friday, too.
Probably so.
That always makes a difference. That one or two boats right now can change your whole day big time for what I'm doing. And has changed my whole day recently. I had those two real tough days before I went to the ranch, two of the worst days of the year, and that was wind mainly, but it was also, there was a couple of boats and some little nooks and cranny things I normally fish, but whatever, it is
what
it is. All
right, buddy. Well, I got to roll, my friend, and I know you do too. You got to get your boat in the water and get going. So if somebody wants to call you, Steve, about going fishing, give them a number, man.
All right, 409-256-7937.
All right. Hillman, have a great day. Appreciate talking to you. Later,
you too.
Man.
Thanks, Mickey. All right.
All right. All right, that's Captain Steve Hillman. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show, but we'll be back in the morning bright and early at 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.